This is a test. 1, 2, 3.
Let's call the Committee on Employee Benefits Programs to order and ask Council to call the roll.
Thank you. Senators Dever?
Here.
Kilzer? Krebsbaugh? O'Connell? Pullman? Triplett? Representatives Vigasa?
Here.
Boehning?
Here.
Brabant?
Here.
Doctor?
Here.
Hake?
Here.
Louser?
Here.
And Anstead. Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Okay, so we do have a quorum. I just mentioned that Senators Kilzer, Krebsbach, and O'Connell are all in appropriations right now, and Senator Triplett is not here today. First item on the agenda then would be consideration of the minutes of the January 6th meeting. I have a motion to approve the minutes with a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Comments by the chairman. The reason we're here today, and I think we had conversations during the interim about the requirements when bills are amended throughout the session, and this is one of those circumstances. So House Bill 1080 was amended in committee last week. Thursday and Friday I requested an actuarial report, and today we're going to hear it. So things can move pretty quickly if necessary. Bill, I think you have a copy of the amended version of House Bill 1080 in front of you, and it appears to me that the amendment is included on page 8, lines 9 through 17. Do I have that correct? I think Senator Louser is carrying it to the floor. Is that where the amendment is? And the amendment simply, any employees after December, or who start employment after December 31st, 2015 will have a multiplier of 1.9 rather than 2. Okay. That does have an impact on the fund, and our charge is if a bill or an amendment has an impact on the fund, whether it's positive or negative, it needs to have a report. So that's the purpose in our meeting this morning. With that, committee consideration and receipt of technical comments and actuarial information. Barbara, are you going to provide that? Go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Barb Collins. I'm the Executive Director of the North Dakota Public Employees Retirement System, or PERS. The bill before you today, as was mentioned, does a couple of things pursuant to the amendments that have been passed. The first thing the bill does is, as you may recall, this bill was called like the fourth year of the recovery plan. As included in the bill were contribution increases for the active employees in the plan and for the employers in the plan. It was 1% on each side for the employer and 1% for the employee. The amendments, one part of the amendments here in the bill remove the fourth year of the recovery plan. The other part that was offered as part of the recovery plan were certain changes in benefits. Those were a change as outlined in the Siegel memo, you can see here, the change in final average salary, the minimum age at which retirement benefits, normal retirement benefits could be started, and the early retirement reduction. These were all parts of the original recovery plan that was submitted to you and remain in the bill as it's before you today. Those were not amended, changed, or altered. So the second change, though, that's in the bill here before you today is the addition of one other benefit change, And what that benefit change is that it says, it's our understanding that the intent of this is that for new employees, after a certain date, that their benefit would be calculated instead of at a 2% multiplier, at a 1.9% multiplier. So instead of a 2% multiplier, it would be a 1.9% multiplier. We would suggest, which is a little bit outside, the way the bill is worded at this point, it says all retirees first enrolled after December 31, 2015, reaching normal retirement date, equal an amount payable monthly. The wording we normally use instead of retirees is we say for all employees first enrolled after December 31, 2015, the retirement, the benefit would be as follows. And we'd be happy to supply some wording that our attorney can put together for you that would be the same as the wording that we've used in the other sections. And that's a consistency comment that would be there. So we'll be happy to bring that up and supply that to you as well. Just clarifies the intent as to who it's going to apply to, that it's just new employees and does not in any way affect the existing employees. So with those two things, those are the two changes that occur in the bill. With those in mind, if you go to the second page of the Siegel report, you'll be able to see here an actuarial cost analysis as done by Siegel this last weekend. It says the bill would affect the current funding level of the PERS plan. As a result of the proposed plan changes, the normal cost of the main system will reduce from 10.36 to 9.9%, a decrease in the actuarially required contribution of 4.46. Approximately one-half of this decrease, or 0.2, would be a result of the benefit change from 2 to 1.9. So of that 0.46 reduction, about 0.26 was already a part of the bill, because that was those first three items that I talked to you about here. The addition of the 1.9 multiplier reduces it by 0.2 going forward. And as they will say here, the cost savings would very gradually would be worked into the system over the next 20 to 30 years, because you can see at the outset of this, most everybody is going to be at the 2% multiplier. And it's only over time, as the employee base moves from those of us who are here to out to the new employees, that 1.9 multiplier effect would be fully recognized.
Well, new employees would make the same contribution, but they would receive a lower benefit, which would not factor in until their retirement.
They would pay the same contribution, right. Their benefit level would be factored in when they start, but because there'd be small numbers of them, it wouldn't start to accumulate until forward. But yes, their contribution level would be the same. So if you look at the table down below at the bottom of the page, you can see the red line. Remember, we looked at this a lot during the interim, the long-term funding challenge going forward, and you can see that with the change, it will reduce that slightly. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's an overview of the bill and the changes that will occur as a result of the addition of the 1.9 to the bill. Incidentally, we're in the process of filing a fiscal note on this. You will note when you see the fiscal note that we don't show that this has any fiscal effect in the next 2 years. And the reason why is that the state right now today is not paying the full contribution rate, the actuarially required contribution rate as determined by the actuary. We're paying 14.12. So this change isn't going to reduce. We're still going to be short on the actuarially required contribution rate. So we're still behind. So the fiscal note that will be filed today based on this will show no fiscal effect.
Are there any questions? Representative Onstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sparb, You said the fourth year, this eliminates the fourth year of our recovery plan?
Yes, it does.
So with that being gone, and then even though you're reducing this, if this was ahead, say, 10 years from now, we probably still wouldn't see any benefit from actually lowering this to 1.9.
What you're going to see is pretty much of this red line versus the green line. It helps, but does it substantially alter the situation? No.
Thank you.
I think previously the funded status of the plan would be 100% in 2059, and now
around 2050s and the 2050s. I see they're running right now at around 2052 in the most recent one here.
Any other questions? I'm not sure what we need to do procedurally. Do we need to enter, do we still have jurisdiction over the bill? Previously, we had jurisdiction over this bill, and then we moved it forward, and it became the jurisdiction of the House. Now, in order for us to act on this, we need to move to take jurisdiction again. The Chair would entertain a motion to that effect. Is it? We have a motion and a second for employee benefits to reassume jurisdiction over House Bill 1080. Is there any discussion? Don't need a roll call vote on that, do we? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Then we need to consider a recommendation, I would imagine, on just this amendment, since we acted on the bill before. Of course, the bill has been substantially changed otherwise, other than this amendment as well, but that's a different consideration. Why don't we consider the bill as amended for a recommendation, favorable or unfavorable? Representative Onstead, you were about to push your button.
I did push my button. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that being said, I see that we really not give it a favorable recommendation, because even when you look at the statistics, how far it is out there, there's no real fiscal change in there. It really comes back to recruiting and employment practices of public employees, and I think you were. We're laying out there, we're going to give them less, basically. And when statistics don't warrant that, and even moving forward, so I would recommend that we not give it a favorable recommendation from this committee.
So your motion then would be for an unfavorable recommendation?
Correct. So move.
Is there a second? I have a motion and a second to offer an unfavorable recommendation to House Bill 1080 as amended. Is there any further discussion? Representative Beeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we move this as an unfavorable recommendation, it fails in the House. Therefore, there will be another, the employees will not be paying their 1%. So there'd be zero increase in payments to the retirement funds, then, correct?
Are you talking about the contribution rate?
Yes.
contribution rate has been taken out of the, if the amendments fail, then it'll be restored. But if the bill fails, if the amendment passes and the bill fails, that's gone anyway.
Okay.
Other discussion? Hearing none, the council takes a roll.
And Mr. Chairman, committee members, for clarification, this is an unfavorable recommendation on the bill as amended, so it's that Christmas tree you're looking at. Senators Kilzer, Krebsbaugh, O'Connell, Pullman.
Yes.
Triplett. Representatives Vigasa.
No.
Saining.
No.
Robin.
No.
Doctor.
No.
Hake. Bowser?
No.
Onstead?
Yes.
And Dever?
Yes.
The motion fails.
Motion fails, it appears 5-4. Not the only choice we had. Representative Vigasa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion for a favorable recommendation on House Bill 1080 as amended. Is there a second? Second. Is there any further discussion? Representative Onstead.
I would just like ask what makes this favorable? What advantage is this creating, if any? And I guess if you can really answer that question, you know, you can support the motion. But it just seems like a status quo, and we've actually taken away some things, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody care to respond to that? Doesn't appear so. Is there any further discussion? Representative Vigasa?
Well, I'll just make one comment, Mr. Chairman, that, you know, it's looking way down the road, of course, but based on this chart, it looks like we would become 100% funded maybe 7 years earlier. Well, that's a long ways down the road, but it is 7 years. I believe you mentioned 2059. That it would be 100% under the current, and now it's going to be 2052.
Or if the amendment fails, it'll be 2034. Representative Lauzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment, though, is on the bill for consideration, so it would be the bill failing, not the amendment, on the floor of the House. So what we're discussing here is a favorable recommendation on this bill. But we're voting on the, as amended, but we're voting on the amended bill on the House floor, not the amendment.
You have the amendment on the sixth order in the House, don't you?
It was on the sixth order. It's been removed for consideration here.
Yeah. So you will be considering the amendment and then the bill?
Well, we may be.
Well, you have it on the sixth order, no matter what we do here. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll ask the council to call the roll.
Thank you. And for clarification, this is a favorable recommendation on 1080 as amended. Senators Kilzer, Krebsbaugh, O'Connell, Pullman. Triplett. Representatives Vigasa.
Yes.
Saining.
Yes.
Robin.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Hake.
No.
Bowser.
Yes.
Onstead.
No.
And Senator Dever.
No. So it appears that the motion for favorable recommendation has passed. How do we transmit this to the House?
Mr. Chairman, what I can do is, as soon as we wrap up our meeting, I can prepare a committee report.
Okay. Mr. Assistant Majority Leader, you do the calendar? Okay. Okay. Is there any other business to come before employee benefits? If not, I appreciate everybody being here and demonstrating that the process works. So with that, we'll stand adjourned.